Okay, I'll call the meeting to order. It is 7 o'clock, and this is December 18th, 2018. This is the regular meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Zoning Appeals. And we have one application agenda item on the in front of us this evening. It's BZA case 2018-08. Mitzi Hines and Herbert Platt Jr. Are requesting a conditional use permit for living space in an accessory building. I will call the roll at this time. Mr. Phillips?
Present.
Ms. Driscoll?
Here.
Ms. Yu?
Here.
Mr. Boone?
Here.
Chair is present. And first order of business is to go into a review of the meeting minutes from the November 27th meeting. I'm ready when you're ready. Is that a motion?
Yes, I can.
Okay, Dorothy Driscoll makes a motion to approve. Any revisions? Okay, entertain a second.
Second.
Okay, Teresa. Okay, discussion? Any revisions? Okay, then we will do a consent vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Phillips.
Okay, Phillips abstains. Okay, and the motion carries. All right, moving on to, we're gonna open the public meeting at 7:02, and I'll read the legal notice in, and then, let's swear everybody in that's going to appear on the on our case tonight. You can stand, raise your right hand. You sworn in. I don't charge extra, you might as well. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Yes. Be seated, thank you. Okay, Mitzi L. Hines and Herbert B. Platt Jr. requesting approval of a conditional use permit per section 1609.01F of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution to allow for living space in an accessory building currently under construction at 9239 Lake of the Woods Drive in Galena, Ohio, 43021, Lot 236 in Lake of the Woods, number 1, currently zoned rural residential, RR, and this is BZA case 2018-08, and we'll start off with the staff report.
Thank you. So, as noted in the legal notice, that property is located in a rural residential district, which allows for accessory buildings, but the code does not allow for living space or occupancy of an accessory building without going through the Board of Zoning Appeals and obtaining a conditional use permit. So originally when the original application for the house was submitted, they did have a accessory building at that time that showed living space, and that space was removed, and then they submitted a revision to that application and changed the size of the accessory building to what you have now in your application, and they were aware that they needed to come before you, before they could finish out the second story. So what was submitted to us did not show the living space. So that would be amended, I guess, with the county when, if they get their approval tonight. And I did want to point out one thing on the application form. That was submitted by the applicant. It says that their acreage is 3.15 acres, And that is, was the original size of the lot before the neighbor had purchased the lot, removed the existing house that was there, and then he transferred about a half an acre to his lot and left the residual portion to be about two and a half acres.
Okay.
And the auditor's site said that it was still 3.15, which was what I was looking at. And then when I was starting to do some research for the, I said, oh yeah, they did that lot transfer, and why is the acreage still not changed? So I called and they said their records haven't been updated yet. So, but now on the staff report, it's the 2.5 is the correct acreage. Just
they haven't updated it since August of 17.
That's what I asked, and she said it wouldn't roll over until January, and then it would be correct.
Oh, when they reassess? Who knows?
Yeah.
It's the county.
I thought it was kind of unusual, too. But
okay. So, can I... Oh, are you
sure.
through?
I really don't have a whole lot. I mean,
okay.
It's pretty straightforward. You guys have seen these before, so...
We have. I just want to back up real quick and ask. I want to just see if I heard something correctly.
Okay.
They originally submitted it with the living space.
Correct.
They removed the living space and resubmitted the application.
Correct.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. Okay. The applicant can do their presentation and either at the podium or sit at the table there. Either one is fine. Introduce yourself, if you would, sir. And are you the builder or the...
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
I'm Vince Galone with Galone Custom Builders.
Oh, okay.
So I'm technically the applicant. The homeowner is here, and I'm sure he wants to say
okay.
something. I might mention that when we resubmit, it's actually smaller than it was before.
Right.
I believe, based on all the questions, and you've probably seen all this, I mean, I'll gladly answer any questions you have, but I think we've tried to answer everything or any concerns there were.
Was the reduction in the size of the accessory building due to the lot coverage?
No.
Was that a consideration?
Just didn't feel like we needed it quite as much.
Yes.
Okay. There's a lot of, I'll use the term, toys that we need to put down below.
I understand.
But they still felt that, you know, at some point there's a chance that aging parents may want to live there.
Mm-hmm.
For a period of time, as well as most of Herb's family lives in Cleveland, fairly large family, comes down for the weekend. The house itself, although it's a large house, is only 4 bedrooms. We have got the septic is oversized, but the septic going into the project, we did make sure that the septic was sized for what would now be six bedrooms. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's already been taken care of, regardless.
Okay.
But any other questions? I mean, It's very much, I mean, the barn will look very similar to the house. Placement is well within the means that we're allowed to do.
Is the house complete, or is it still?
The house is about 65 to 70% done.
Ways to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Susan, is there a lot coverage issue because we've reduced the size of the site?
I don't believe so.
Okay. And also, is that a legal conforming site for residential at 2.5 acres and
yes.
numbers.
Okay. The minimum's 2.
Okay. Have we heard, and back to you, Susan, have we heard from the HOA in there? Do they have any issues?
We did not receive any comments or questions or phone calls except for Mr. Lawrence, who's here tonight.
Okay. We'll get to him then.
Had a couple questions, but other than that, we really didn't have any contact from any of the residents.
Nothing from police and fire?
I am, correct, right. No. Except from Mr. Lawrence, who had called.
Jones.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My name's Jones.
Andy Jones.
Andy.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll get to you in a couple minutes, Mr. Jones.
I did send copies of the application to police, fire, and maintenance. I did not receive any response or comments back.
Did their HOA get
comments? We only send to the adjacent property owners, so we did not send to the HOA.
Is this this type of building, aside from the living, the living space that they want this is a typical improvement for Lake of the Woods then, to have an accessory building like this?
I mean, I think there's multiple homes along there that have accessory buildings.
I believe I addressed that, there are, if I've got this correct, 13 homes, of which 9 of the 13 have detached garages or barns.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Did you get a copy of the HOA? I know it'd be a difference, but...
No, I'm not even, is there an HOA?
There is no HOA, but I can speak.
Oh, okay. I was under the impression of some of these...
We do have a road association, but we don't have an HOA.
Oh, yeah. In fact, yeah. Unless, here, we'll get to you in a second. Anybody have any questions for the builder, the applicant?
I might also mention that, yes. I'm sure when Herb talks, he does have a letter from his nearest neighbors saying that they don't have a problem. So, but yeah, if there's any structural stuff that I can answer.
A couple of quick questions on Section 303, and you've already attempted to address those one by one. I just wanted to follow up on a couple.
Sure.
303.02 really talks about, is there going to be any loss of damage to natural, scientific, or historic features? I'm not concerned about historic, but just ask about damage to natural or scientific or scenic features on the property.
Where the barn is setting is actually in what I would call the field, for better lack of terms. There's, you know, a lot of that area is heavily wooded. We're not into the wooded area. We're right in the field there, so I would say no.
Again, just protecting other neighbors there. As you might know, in 303.03, it talks about substantial injury to the value of the property in the area or neighborhood. What's your position with respect to...
In my opinion of that, we're in the majority of what we're doing there, and that, as I stated, I believe of 13 homes, 9 have detached garages. So by garage, barn, whatever you want to call them, quite a few of them are barns. So I think it very much is in tune with the neighborhood and then adds to the value of that particular property and the cost of that property for us to do it. Yeah.
303.04 asks if it will be compatible with adjoining developments. And again, I think we've kind of addressed that issue.
Yeah.
Saying
we've tried to make the barn look, there's slightly different because it is a barn, but it very much has the similar same product that is on the house as well as what's on the houses, some of the houses in the neighborhood, very much so. Especially the newer homes.
Are there any other barns in the neighborhood?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I think, is it the same street that one of the neighbors actually, their house is a barn?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Susan, can I ask, I keep skipping around.
That's okay.
I apologize. And I assume the placement of the barn meets the setback requirements?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. We've already issued them a building
permit
for construction, so they've already
we've already had
that review.
Building-wise, we're actually turned into Delaware County, and they're simply waiting for your approval or non-approval. As they've said, you know, you're good to go, Vince, but until this issue of whether you're okay or not, they can't issue it.
So. Sure, I understand. Okay, anybody? Oh, go ahead.
303.08, adequate off-street parking. I know your response was that the first floor of the barn could be used for parking.
Meaning that vehicles will be parked inside, typically.
I mean, not at all times. There's still room outside.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And I assume there's a garage attached to the house.
Yes, there's a 3-car garage attached to the house, yes. We have barn doors on this so that
sure.
If somebody's staying there, they can pull in rather than leave them parked out. But there definitely is room if they're parked out.
On the map that you've given us, the graph, I don't see access to the barn. Is there a driveway? I don't see. Am I just missing that? Is there a driveway there? I see this driveway.
There's
a
continuum here.
This will just come back when I do.
Our septics are all back in here. If you look at the end of the property here, roughly, this is where the land falls dramatically off. The lake is down here. The woods start about right here and curl around. This is all open here. There is a few trees in here. There's a few trees in here, trees in here. But here we're kind of in
that's where you're putting it.
There. Yeah.
In here?
Mm-hmm. No.
Which
direction
is the front? Square.
Is
this
the,
you look at this, right?
Technically, I'd say this is the front.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a dual door in several locations.
And the front of the house is over here?
Actually, the front of the house is right here.
Oh, so the house,
the
oh, okay.
There, so the front's here.
So the house actually is going to face the barn.
That's correct.
Okay. To a degree.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Dave?
Yes.
I don't. Teresa?
Look very vested.
I do.
Dorothy?
No, I just was concerned about the homeowners, but I guess there isn't any.
Okay.
I don't know.
And I'm sure that Herb would probably like to speak.
Is the barn directly in the front of the house?
This is the front of the house. So,
is this the main road?
No, the main road's right here.
Oh, it's coming this way?
Yep, so the road goes down and curls in. This is the existing, there's an old driveway here because I had an old house on it. This is the existing driveway.
What is over here?
This is Mr. Vance's property over here. So there's a house here again facing this way, and I think Vance has a barn also, doesn't he?
He does have a small barn.
Yeah, he has a small barn over there too.
Susan, does the front have to face the main road? No.
Nope, they can put it backwards.
Yeah, the views all, $1 million views right there.
Right. Yeah. I saw that on the...
Okay, if there's nothing else for the builder, let's hear from the homeowner. They never do their tricks when you want them to.
They're doing their one trick, and they're being good.
There you go.
Yeah.
They're being hated.
I'll take that. So my name is Herbert Platt, one of the homeowners. I am a current resident on the Hoover, so... You know, I do understand what it means to preserve the, you know, the natural look that we all love and moved in for. I guess the biggest thing that I want to say is that we're not just building a barn next to our neighbors. I have personal relationships with Vance Thornton and Larry Hutta. I have business relationships with them. So their interest... and their consideration and how they feel about this barn being present is particularly important to me. So if they would have, you know, said, hey, Herb, you know, I don't know how I feel about that, we wouldn't be here today. You know, I wouldn't do that to them. So, of course, you know, I did talk with them, and I've gotten their blessing, and here we are. So I hope that weighs in some in perspective that, you know, they're on board too.
Okay, I appreciate that. Does anybody have any questions?
Susan, notices were sent to them too, right? They had an opportunity to be here. If they,
correct.
If they didn't
and
propose it
I mean, the next door neighbor is the person who sold them the
Vance.
Lot. So.
And Vance actually did not sign that paper, but it's because he's sick. So he did say to say hi, and that was kind of his throw. He said, you know, it seems logical that it would be okay on his behalf because he did sell us the parcel knowing what our intentions were.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Let's hear from Mr. Jones, is it?
Yes.
My short-term memory is still there.
My name is Andrew Jones, and I live at 9726 Lake of the Woods Drive. So Mr. Platt is going to be one of my neighbors, and one of the key reasons that I came here tonight was to meet our new neighbors because I'd never met them before. And I hadn't really realized what this is all about, but I did take a look at the application. I pulled it down offline and looked at it, and it's acceptable to me. But I do want to state the concern that I have, and it's not with respect to Mr. Platt or the other owner. The fact is that there are two items that I think bear on this in a sense, and let me talk about both of them. First of all is our road. All of Lake of the Woods subdivision number one is served by a private road, two private roads actually, Lake of the Woods Drive and Meadow Lane. And Lake of the Woods Drive was in terrible condition a few years ago. And the residents all asked me to lead up an effort to rebuild it. And in 2012, we rebuilt both roads at considerable expense, paid for by the at that time, 15 residents that lived in this area. And the road, when it was originally constructed in about 1955, was 11 feet wide. Today, the pavement for Lake of the Woods Drive is 13 feet wide. The applicant's property is at the very end of the road, which is 6/10 of a mile from Red Bank Road. And one thing you should understand is, I think, there are deed restrictions for this subdivision, and one of which is that lots have to be 2.5 acres, and that's why the lot is at least 2.5 acres. But another fact is that all of the residents own the property that the road is constructed on. And each of us have given an easement to the other purchasers in the area of the right of ingress and egress over the road. So, for example, when you drive down to their property, you're driving over my property, and I've given an easement for that purpose. And that's been interpreted to include not just the purchaser of the property, but, you know, guests and delivery people and so forth. But we as a community, we really don't want to encourage additional traffic on the road. And there are a couple of reasons for that. One reason is because it's a narrow road. It's a one-lane road.
I haven't been down there in a while.
And we've got two-way traffic on a one-lane road 13 yes. feet wide. By statute, a two-lane road is at least 20 feet. So we've done a number of things. There's another factor, too. This road has a couple curves in it, and because of, in one case, a tree, in another case, some bushes, there are a couple places where there are blind spots. And another thing that occurred, I noticed after we rebuilt the road and, you know, made it a little bit wider, 13 feet, and paved it and make it a nice smooth road, people drive too fast on it. So a lot of us, not all of us, but a lot of us who live there are a little bit concerned about liability, because we don't want people, you know, we don't want an accident to happen on this road, and we don't want, then, you know, you have to defend something, which I think we could, but we don't want to have to defend a liability case if there's an accident on the road. Fortunately, we haven't had anything like that. I don't think we will. But if you've been over there, that's why we have the signs that we do at the front of the road, which clearly warn people this is a private road. We don't want any trespassers on it, which, and we put a speed limit sign, 25 miles an hour. People still drive too fast, but hopefully that does a little bit. There's another sign that says no lake access, because we've had a lot of people go back there trying to get to the lake to go fishing and that sort of thing. So really, I have no problem at all with this application. The only concern I would have would be if at some future time the property would be sold and a future purchaser would want to use this as an apartment he could rent out. It looks to me like it would make a nice apartment. It's got two bedrooms, it's got two bathrooms, it's got a recreation room, it's got another unfinished room, which should be a kitchen. So that would be a really nice rental, which I don't think this applicant is going to do. He said in his application he's not, and he told me, and I accept that. And I have no problem with this application. And in fact, this kind of a thing is actually covered in our deed restrictions. And let me just read it. The deed restriction says, no building shall be erected on any residence parcel of the aforementioned Lake of the Woods subdivision other than one single-family residential unit, which may include only a private residence suitable for year-round occupancy, a private garage, and other outbuildings appropriate to a private residence in the country, it being understood that a private guest house or servants' quarters will be permissible outbuildings. So this is permitted by the deed restriction, no question about it. The only concern I would have would be at some point in the future, if they would sell it and it uses a rental, and that
sure.
would not like that because, not because of what it looks like, but because it would increase the traffic on this
yes.
very narrow
totally
road.
I totally understand. Like I said, I haven't been over there in a while. Yeah. I have been on that road. In fact, the day I was on that road, I met a car coming the other way, and thankfully, we worked it out.
Well, what we find is the people who live there is, you know, there's a certain etiquette to driving on the road, but new people who come in, listen. Yeah, I mean, they don't. They just barrel right ahead.
They do it in my neighborhood.
It's so we try to restrict the use of it to people who have a reason to be there and not just anybody. And that's why we don't want rental property.
I absolutely get your point.
Yeah. So if it would be possible to grant this application, which I fully support, I have no problem with the applicant, if it could include the condition that, you know, it's only a, well, it's just what the applicant says. If it could include the language that's actually right in the application, which says, this will not be used for a rental or any income generating property.
Right.
That would cover it.
Okay.
So that's all I have. Thank you very
much. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Jones? No? Okay. Thank you for your comment.
Yes, thank
you.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I know several people that live in Lake of the Woods.
I'm sorry?
I know several of my friends live in Lake of the Woods, but they don't have homeowners. And you really don't have one?
A homeowners association?
Yeah.
No, let me explain why that is.
And I know they have a lot of problems with the roads. You've told me all about that the roads, they have a very difficult time getting people in and up to build the roads.
Well, I headed that up. I know all about it. Okay. And we do not have a homeowners association. And the key reason is that we have some pretty individualistic people who live in this area who will not have anything to do with the homeowners association. And this was a big problem because we didn't have an entity. They could even have a bank account, which you need if you're going to do a huge project like rebuilding this road. So I formed an unincorporated association, which is provided for under Ohio law, and it's a single-purpose unincorporated association called Lake of the Woods Road Association, which most of us signed up for, but that was enough for us to open a bank account and make contracts with contractors. And the sole purpose of that association was to reconstruct the two roads and to maintain them. And that's all it does.
Gotcha.
I'm no longer the president of it. Fortunately, I got out of this. But Kate Bandura is now the president of our road association. But we don't really have anything to do anymore because it's rebuilt.
Good, great, thank you.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Your comments. Mm-hmm. Okay, are there any other members of the public that wish to speak on this application? Okay, does anybody have any other questions from the applicant or builder? Because then we'll go into discussion if anybody has anything. Okay. Let me just double check myself. Okay, well, then let's go into discussion. Thank you, by the way, the applicants and Mr. Jones. Thanks for your comments. What the process is now, as you know, is we're going to close essentially the public comments. Oh, you can stay or not, it's okay. And we're going to now discuss the application. We're going to go through the analysis as it relates to the code, which actually the application did a very good job of doing that. And then we'll make a decision. So, so that's what we're going to do. So, I guess I'll just start the discussion. For me, the barn itself is a little bit confounding.
legally conforming. We've done this before. We've done it before, and we've also limited it to non-commercial purposes, which is what their application requests. And I think, and we can discuss that, I think it meets the spirit of the code, assuming that it's for not, you know, that we limit it to non-commercial purposes, which I know we've also done. In fact, the ones that I can remember that we've done, I think that's exactly what we've done. I can only remember two applications. They were both very, one was extremely similar to this. I'm a little troubled by the process where the original plan was to build it, and then they submitted the plan without it, and now they've come to us. I don't know. I mean, I think it was the original plan. I don't know. I don't really hold that against the applicant particularly, but otherwise that's really the only thing that the only negative that I see with the application.
Mark,
so,
if we put a conditional use on it, how do you enforce that in the future when you will ultimately sell it?
That's a great question.
I'm thinking we just rely on basically someone to tell them.
How do we enforce
that? You know, one of the neighbors notices, you know, safe car.
Right, I think that's the enforcement piece, is that they're, I mean, we can't rely on staff to enforce it beyond somebody, a neighbor calls and says, hey, they weren't.
That's true, just about anything.
Right.
When we put a condition
exactly.
on it.
Exactly.
I don't even know legally if we can enforce that.
I don't know about the use itself, but the homeowners can. It's a violation of deed restriction, so another property owner could certainly raise.
Right, and that's what I was hearing.
Which in a court proceeding or whatever, so yeah, they have.
Right.
They have. A
they actually, sure. Yeah, they probably have.
When Mr. Jones was reading the deed restrictions, it sounded like that would be the course of action, because that would be a violation of the deed restriction. Mm-hmm. So it's already covered. From a zoning aspect, I don't know that we can enforce that.
Yeah, I was wondering if we could even put a conditional use on it.
I think we've done, the ones that we've done before, we did put that restriction on it. Now, whether it's enforceable or not is beyond the state.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I remember the last applicant, he wanted it for his daughter and her children.
Yeah,
like
I remember
that.
Being
the
it was
first.
The one
Another
over the
sort
of answered over there. Then we had the one down the street where I think it was the daughter and the kids were staying because she was getting a little older and she needed help.
Yeah.
And I don't have a huge issue with it.
Mm-hmm. I don't
guess,
unless you're just really looking to make money, I don't know too many.
Well, we did have one. We did have one that wanted to do it as a Airbnb.
Yes,
I remember that.
Remember that?
Yes.
Okay, and that was there was a lot of issues that related to that anyway.
Traffic. Then you have traffic.
So, but I agree with Mark and Susan though that the deed restriction pretty much covers.
So you can
make money on it. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So it's for non-commercial purposes, and really, I don't have a huge problem with it, as long as it's for non-commercial purposes over there.
Right.
Particularly if I'm not hearing from the residents that they don't like it.
Right. It's not obnoxious. It's not barely fitting on the lot.
No. And I have seen, in my own profession, I have seen finished living space above. These types of structures before. It happens. So, anyway, so.
I agree with you. I guess I'm less concerned about the application having come through before and being changed.
I understand.
We don't know what was presented at that time or why it was changed. I think. As we see what comes before this board, I'm okay with it. I do think we need to run through the 10 or 11 factors and 303 at some point in time. But as far as a general discussion goes, I'm okay with it.
Do you want to kick that off then?
Yeah, sure.
And then we'll run through them, and then if we have more discussions, we can
appreciate the fact that you responded to those two.
Yeah, you did. I mean, we get various applications, as I'm sure you know. It's some are better than others. You really did a nice job. So,
as we read in the record, Section 303 states that conditional use or conditional uses may be permitted, provided that the uses shall be found to comply with the requirements listed in 303. So we'll kind of run through those. I think there are 12 subsections. So we'll kind of run through this fairly quickly. The use is so designed, located, and proposed to be operated so that the public health, safety, and welfare and convenience will be protected. From the presentation, it doesn't appear that the public health, safety, welfare, and convenience will be adversely affected. So
yes.
I do believe that those interests will be protected. Subsection 302, the use will not result in destruction, loss, or damage of natural, scenic, or historic features of major importance. We inquired directly with the builder of those things, and he indicated that there will be no loss or damage to natural, scenic, or historic features. And they described for us where the trees are in relation to the barn itself. And it's my understanding the barn's been approved, the structure itself. So the fact that we're considering whether to put living space on the second floor won't affect the
I think
exterior.
It's located pretty close to, there used to be some kind of like a sports court or tennis court or something there previously. That's been removed, so I think it's in that same kind of general area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. 0.03, the use will be designed, constructed, operated, and maintained so it will not cause substantial injury to the value of the property in the area or the neighborhood. Again, we inquired of the builder, and it sounds like in fact, the barn will enhance the value of the property. So it is consistent with 0.03. 0.04, the use shall be compatible with adjoining development and the proposed character of the zoning district where it's located. Once again, we inquired about the compatibility with adjoining development. Found it's going to be very consistent. And once again, we're focusing tonight on just the living space, so the structure itself is compatible. 0.05, use will be served adequately by essential public facilities and services, such as highway, street, police and fire, drainage structures, refuse disposal, water and sewers. Schools or the persons or agencies responsible for establishing the proposed use shall be able to provide any services adequately. We inquired of staff and apparently police and fire and maintenance have no issues with it. So once again, I believe that the use will be consistent with 0.05. 0.06, the use will not create excessive additional requirements of public cost for public facilities and services and will not be detrimental to the economic welfare of the community. Public facilities and services include but not limited to police and fire, other emergency services, roadways, intersections, traffic lights and sanitary and storm sewers. Again, we're going to see relatively few people in this living space. It's proposed that it might be 2-3 people, something like that. So I don't see that as putting any additional stress on any of the public facilities. Other comments from anyone else on the board? 0.07, adequate landscaping and screening are provided as required under Article 20. Again, we've heard about the natural screening and landscaping, and we didn't really inquire about additional landscaping been added, but it sounds like there's adequate natural landscaping there. 0.08, adequate off-street parking is provided and ingress and egress is so designed as to cause minimal interference with traffic on abutting streets. Again, to respond to Mr. Jones's concerns there, it doesn't sound like there's going to be substantial increase in traffic there by permitting this additional space to be constructed on the second floor. I think we share those concerns with Mr. Jones, and he's adequately identified for us the concerns of the other neighbors. But it does sound like if it becomes a rental property, they have their own remedies available by use of their own deed restrictions. 0.09, use conforms to all applicable regulations governing the district to which it is located. To the best of our knowledge, it does conform with all applicable regulations, with the exception of this use, and that's what we're to decide tonight. 0.10, use is compatible with standards, objectives, and policies of You know, the Township Comprehensive Plan is amended and any other revisions there too. Mark, you took a quick look at that before we started, and I think we do find that it's compatible with our standards of Juneau Township.
I think it's compatible, and I think it complies with the spirit of the comp plan also.
Okay, very good. 11.11, the use will not involve uses, activities, processes, materials, equipment, and conditions of operation that will be detrimental to any persons, property, or the general welfare by reason of excessive production of traffic, noise, smoke, fumes, glare, odors, or vibrations. I would think that the latter four of those or five of those, we're not going to see with the residential living space, and we're not going to see an increase in that. Specific note in 11 is the traffic and the noise. And again, from what I've heard tonight, I don't believe there's going to be excessive traffic created by a two-bedroom structure, primarily for family, is my understanding. And then 12, any other supplemental requirements as prescribed by the Board of Zoning Appeals. I'm not aware of any. Susan, are you aware of any other supplemental requirements that which we do not know?
I think those would be something you could.
Okay.
Like our conditional use that we can't.
Okay.
Conditional.
And yeah. I guess that's where we.
The conditional use conditions.
Yeah.
We talked about, that they won't. It'll not be used for any. It'll only be used for non-commercial use, and it won't be used for any income-generating purposes.
Should we include that requirement? I don't know that it's relevant based on the deed restrictions. I mean, okay. I mean, and I'm totally fine with it. I think the applicant is fine with it.
I think we should include it.
Okay. Absolutely. Then.
We're not for sure that it's not enforceable, so I think we should include it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I agree.
As a board tonight.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I guess I'm not aware of this.
No, come on up, Mr. Jones, if you have a comment. That's
well,
fine.
I would ask that you do include it because it gives the residents another argument to make.
I agree.
In addition to, I don't think the deed restriction is all that clear. It doesn't specifically prohibit it, and this just gives the residents another quiver in the arrow in the case we had a dispute over this. We have no dispute with this applicant, but
I understand. The next guy might.
Absolutely.
I understand totally.
Please understand, we're not representing that it is enforceable tonight.
Of course not.
We don't know that it is.
You're just giving us another argument.
Certainly included for your
Another
argument.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So the use, do you want me to take a stab at the use, use?
Do we make the motion first and then we'll...
Do you want to make a motion, or we can kind of draft it out. Okay. I'll tell you what. I'll make the motion to incorporate Exhibits A through D into evidence.
Should we include this? I don't know that this is one of the exhibits identified.
That's part of the application.
That's part of the application.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
To approve a conditional use in accordance with Section 1601.09F of the Juneau Township Zoning Resolution for BZA 2018-08, application received November 21st, 2018, to allow for an accessory building to be used for human occupancy on property at 9239 Lake of the Woods Drive, part of Lot 236 in Lake of the Woods, number 1, zoned rural residential based on the standards listed in Section 303 of the Juneau Township Zoning Resolution and in the aforementioned findings. Approval of the conditional use is subject to the owner's agreement to the following, and it says conditions, I'm going to say condition because I think we only have one, which will be that it is, and I'll take a stab at it and then the professionals can come in after me and clean it up. That the accessory unit living space is used for non-commercial purposes only.
Non-income generating.
It's like you do this all day.
So the kids are family to stay there either.
What did you say?
Non-income generating.
Yes.
So we can't charge the family to stay there either.
Right. Those parents are staying for free now.
They paid forward.
There you go.
But that's the spirit, is that it's for non-commercial.
It's turned into a B&B.
Right. Exactly.
Second the motion.
Okay. Mark seconded.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Further discussion. I think we've discussed this pretty good. Does anybody else have anything, Teresa? No.
Nope.
Dave? No. I'm good.
Okay.
Dorothy? Good. Well, then I guess we're ready to call a vote. Mr. Britton?
Yes.
Mr. Iskell?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Ms. Yu?
Yes.
And Chair votes yes. And the hearing is closed at 7:46 p.m. Thank you. Your application is approved. And enjoy your construction.
Mr. Jones.
Thanks for coming. I'm on page 4. The duration of the term of the members of the board. And I see it, but it seems vague to me. Yeah, I mean, the alternates are very definite, but the board members seem a little vague to me, and maybe it's just me. I'll just read the sentence. The Board of Township Trustees may have... Oh, that's for the alternates, though. Excuse me. Board of Township Trustees shall appoint a Township Board of Zoning Appeals composed of 5 members who shall be residents of the unincorporated territory included in the area zoned. And then it goes on to talk about alternates. The terms of all regular members shall be such length and so arranged that the term of one member will expire each year.
Okay.
I think
that's...
I know it implies 5.
It's directly out of Ohio Revised Code, so that's
okay.
Not something
that's
you can change.
Okay, that, I didn't ask for a change. I just wanted...
Clarification.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do we do it the very first year?
It seemed
how
to...
How do we do it the very first year? I don't know. I wasn't here.
Now, the other question I have is on the next section, actually, down where it says conflict of interest. It's there, but then it's back. It's back and back again. And see, they had so much fun, they want to stay now. There is, because conflict of interest is actually in two places.
Page 8.
And then, yeah, page 8 and page 4. Now, I'm okay with that. It seems a little redundant to me, but otherwise I didn't see anything wrong with this.
Well, one's voting, and the other...
I realize that. I know. But I think the underlying thing is if there's a conflict, there's a conflict. You shouldn't even get to voting if there's a conflict. But maybe it's my interpretation. Boy, I'm about the last guy in the room that wants to have another revision of this thing.
Yeah, if I was going to suggest the page four one, just, it would be removed and maybe the other
yes.
one because the page 8 one is more.
That I agree, Dave.
More
that's,
content.
That's exactly what I was thinking as well. As I thought that's why I said I think the one on 4 is kind of redundant when you get back to 8.
But 8 kind of explains it better.
Well, I would suggest that the 8 is actually more limited. It just says no board member shall represent an applicant, and if there's a financial matter, those are the only two conflicts of interest they talk about in 8B.
Okay.
Whereas the one on 4 is much broader. We'll avoid potential conflicts of interest, like at all costs, and in any situation.
I think this is... The first one is kind of to... kind of spell out what a conflict of interest might entail and that if you think you have one, you should seek some advice, maybe from the prosecutor's office or someplace to get some, you know, could be the prosecutor's office, the ethics, and then the other one kind of spells it out, but I don't think it hurts to have it there.
Leave it in there until the next revision.
And then we're just 90 days, so we can
yeah.
revisit it.
And then if you guys have significant issues with it between now and then, we'll take it out. How's that?
You'll remember I started this discussion by saying I'm probably the last guy in the room that wants to see another revision of this. So
let's keep that thought.
Let's.
I think the prosecutor's office would be right there with you.
Yeah.
They don't want to see that.
He's like, oh, not this thing again.
Not this dog. Well, we're not looking at this thing in April. We're looking at it in a year from April.
Is this, what are we going to remember?
Oh, look at that. You're right. Look at our proofreader, Dorothy, says
yeah.
the assistance or clarification. And then it says clarification again.
It's like it stuttered.
Yeah, if you see that's under conflict of interest, clarification.
Which page are you on?
On page 4.
Bottom line.
And it says, at the end of the line it says clarification. And you go down and it says clarification again.
It's like your typewriter.
And I'm surprised that it didn't give you the collective view an error.
It's a comma.
Yeah,
it's clarification of your clarification.
I'm surprised you didn't give me an underline on that, because usually when you have two words next to each other, it does. See it, Susan?
Page 4.
The document's
sounds like you can get rid of 4 clarifications.
Yeah, you've got
3
two
items. Assistance, comma, clarification, comma, 4 if they suspect.
See, it's...
Mine's different.
It's actually back. Oh, brother. Okay. Yeah. See, it's... On ours, it says clarification.
Well,
right?
I don't have your
audience.
I
got you. It's okay, so conflict of interest. Clarification.
No, okay.
Yeah, it's just, it's a typo is all it is. And as you're reading it, like I do, I don't see stuff like that. I learned to read it like, what they used to call a funny age. And that's why I didn't see it. I'm not a good proofreader at all. And the way I write for work, it makes me horrible. And a horrible writer.
Anything else?
Anything else, gentlemen?
What are we going to do with that? We don't have to send it back to prosecutor's office.
Oh, God, no. That's just a clerical error.
No, it's just a typo.
Are we just making clarifications?
Because otherwise, aside from those 2 points, I'm ready.
Page 10, we need a space on that. Review the rules of procedure. There should be a space underneath it. That's the only thing I see.
Okay.
Just like
under review the rules of procedure on the very last page.
Yeah, because all the other ones have spaces. I'm nitpicking.
Okay, and so anything else? Because I'm ready to hear it. So. Yes. I've seen that happen once.
Okay.
Actually, I've seen it happen twice. We had to come in 3 minutes one time.
There's probably a couple spelled.
And I think I was actually typed on the board very long. I only got the chair that meeting. 5 minutes we had it.
We need a motion to approve.
Do you want to make a motion to approve as
with the following changes.
Right, with the 2 revisions.
Okay. You want to do that? Yeah, I'll move to approve the revised rules of procedure pursuant to the revisions dated December 18, 2018, with 2 additional changes. On page 4, in the section, the heading Conflict of Interest, on the last line of my page, there was a duplicate use of the word clarification, so one
there
should be stricken. And on page 9, under the heading Review of Rules of Procedure, page 10, heading Review of Rules of Procedure, there needs to be a line between the heading and the substance of the paragraph.
Can we get them to drop when they do this, Susan? Can we just take this amendment, this line, this heading, and move it to the next page, please? So it kind of, it looks a little stranded.
Mine isn't
the
next page.
Huh? Maybe yours is different than the next one.
How is your, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. As amended, I will second Mr. Phillips' motion. And is this a consent item, or do we need to call it? Sounds like a consent item to me. Oh, you want me to call? Okay, I'll call it. All in favor? Well, I have one member that wants me to call a roll. I'm calling a roll. Okay, all those in. No. Okay, we have a motion, we have a second. Do we have any discussion, any further discussion on the rules of procedure? Okay, then I will call the roll. Mr. Bowman?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Ms. Driscoll?
Yes.
Ms. Yu?
Yes.
Chair votes yes. So we've adopted the rules of procedure at 8 o'clock. Okay, I will at this time entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting unless there is other business.
So moved.
Mr. Phillips moves.
Second.
We have a second by Mr. Boone. All those in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. We are adjourned at 8 p.m.
All right.